Blog Talk Radio. To our show today. I had a little bit of a glitch there. Thanks so much for joining us at www.transparency.help. I finally got the name of it down right.
Oh.
Anyways, this is a safe place to sit and listen to and think upon any wounds, weaknesses, and worries that have you doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And I am really blessed to be here today and just be, I kind of use this as a form of accountability, not to mention the fact that my time with Steve is my sense of sanity. Anyway, Steve, how was your weekend?
Well, we were going to go camping. Well, we actually did, and we were supposed to leave Friday afternoon. Originally, we left at noon Saturday for one whole day, and you get your camper ready. You know, you might as well go 5 days or one, but What was neat is when I tell my wife, she goes, "You don't socialize." I said, "I'm around people all the time." She goes, "That's your job." And so she was right. So we
Who
went
said
on.
Who said you don't socialize? Your wife?
My wife. Yeah.
Nailed
well,
it?
I said, well, yeah. She goes, "You need to socialize as part of your, you need to socialize." I said, "I do. You know, I see people every day." She goes, "No, that's your job." So we went out to camp with three other families, and it was just like a reunion. Hadn't seen a lot of them in a while. So she was right. It was very, very relaxing.
That's cool.
Fire by the beach, you know, so it was just a very, very cool time.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up before we, like, start going back into guilt and shame. I have got to ask you, I know there has to be a balance, you know, as far as, like, ministry. Like, for me, for the fundraiser that we just did,
right,
I really had to put myself into a different frame of mind because I really would rather just sit at home and just,
sure,
especially after, you know, the crazy weeks that I've had. And so, because I find it peculiar that God is using an avoider to, you know, just get me out of myself, you know.
Hello.
I really had to force myself to get out there and socialize and just visit with people. But you know what? I enjoyed it when it was done. It was really a fun experience.
Cool.
So
that is cool.
Yeah, so that was our, somebody has no audio yet. That inhales vigorously. You might have to get out and try again, sweetheart. I'm so sorry.
Well, she doesn't have audio. She can't hear you, so you need to tell her.
Oh, that's
type
right.
Type it up.
Okay.
Type it in.
Manny, try going out and coming back in. Man, that happens too many times.
Oh, like a reset.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Wow, that's frustrating.
Sorry. So sorry.
And for those also who are on the chat, for us, could you give us an idea if you have sound? So that would be helpful.
Yes, we need sound. Audio says, Jan says, got no audio at all. I think we had a guest log out because they don't have audio. So, hey, let me give this call number, 347-215-6697,
347-215-6697.
That's what I'm going to do. 317. Okay, so if you have a question or you have a problem, you can give us a call at 347-215-6697. So we're going to go ahead and get going on the show. I'm not sure why we're having a problem with the audio, but I guess we're going to have to let the techie gurus know that. I know that when this has happened in the past, it's been a very, very simple fix. And so I see Jen is logged in. So, Jen, maybe you can let us know if you have sound. Let us know, 215-6697. I'm putting this in the chat room, 56697. You can call us. You can call us. And then, Jen, do you have audio? She can hear it now. She had a hard time with audio, but she can hear it now. Okay, great. All right, so we're going to move on. So sorry about that. Hopefully Nanny will be able to get back in. But we're going to go ahead and keep on going. We had started last week with guilt and shame. And what we're doing is we're just kind of giving you the framework, if you will, of what makes these the roots, why they are what they are. And we'll give you an acrostic, and we'll give you a biblical fact, a psychological fact, and any other fun fact. and we will apply it to life as we go on the way. So, all right, so we do have people with sound now, so hopefully you'll be able to enjoy the show. And we, again, I have the call number I left in the chat room, 347-215-6697. We would love your phone calls, so we could maybe just on the air answer questions that you have regarding the root, or maybe something else has stirred something else, but feel free to give us a holler. So we had started off with guilt last time, and we were talking about it being guilt and shame go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Guilt says what's wrong. What did I do wrong? And shame says what's wrong with you. And so we actually had pretty much completed guilt, but not the acrostic and everything. We'll get into that in a minute. But we wanted to go on and talk about shame, because as the curriculum and as I've learned, guilt does lead to shame, especially unresolved guilt. You know,
sure.
If you have not apologized, or if you have not been forgiven, it leads to shame, and this could be for
well, especially when you are around the people the resolve has not taken place with.
Mm-hmm.
You avoid them. You perceive they have issues with you. You perceive they think things of you, and so that's why not discussing those things is really tough. Your world gets kind of small if you don't resolve. So it's very important that you're able to ask forgiveness, give forgiveness, and let those things go.
And the key here is, you know, I had a situation not too long ago where I definitely approached something incorrectly, and so I owned it so I could disown it, but not just for that reason. I genuinely was sorry, and I apologized, and that person has not been forgiving. And so that's not my stuff. I'm not going to let there be any unresolved guilt or let it lead me to shame because she has not forgiven me. I can't do that. And so I'm confident in my heart that I've tried to make it right, right?
Well, the Bible talks about if you come to the altar to pray and you remember while you're praying that you have aught against the brother or one has against you, that you're to leave the gift and go to the brother. Now, it never qualifies what the brother does. It never qualifies what that person does.
Mm-hmm.
You're just supposed to do your part.
It doesn't matter, in other words, is what you're saying, right?
Well, yes, because forgiving you frees me.
Yeah.
Forgiving you lets go of what resentments I have, or forgiving you has the ability to not be as afraid as I might have been, because now I've let go of that. I'm not in bondage to them. I'm not
mm-hmm.
connected. So that's why if you go, the other person can say, I'm sorry, I can't forgive you. The other person can say, I'm not ready to forgive you, which is also not about you. But knowing that you've done your part, then hopefully you're free in your heart, you know, at that point.
Well, so, let me ask you a question. And this is, let me bring one of my situations to the table here and just ask your opinion on it. Because I had actually voiced to someone because of their action that I was actually working through forgiving them. Okay.
Sure.
And that's what I said, that I was working through, which she mistook for me saying, I'm not forgiving you. But doesn't it sometimes take working through?
Well, by the way, forgiveness is a choice and a process.
Thank you.
If somebody's wounded you, you're not as quick to be as close as you were. And so it takes time to let go of and feel safe, but it also takes time to be around that person in more time to relax that. And
yeah.
So, yeah, trust is the same thing. You know, people have been wounded by their parents all the way to being molested. And so the molested child needs to be able to forgive the parent so they're free from
right.
that. But that doesn't mean they may ever trust their parent again. It doesn't mean
right.
they may have a relationship with those people again.
Or want to subject themselves.
Sure.
To them. Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So, yeah, very
it's just different.
Important.
Yeah, it is a process, and everybody's process is completely different. And this person really helped me see that, you know what, hurt people hurt people. Like, if you don't
oh,
let go of
sure.
hurt, you will continue to
sure.
hurt other people.
Oh,
so,
sure. Welcome to the human race.
Yeah, exactly. And the deeper I get in the trenches, the more I cry, help, Lord. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is, like, really hard.
No, exactly.
It's really hard. Okay, so let me give you the dictionary definition for shame. It says, shame is a painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt, a shortcoming, or an impropriety. That's kind of interesting, an impropriety.
A painful emotion caused by
consciousness of guilt, a shortcoming, or an impropriety. So in other words, something dishonest. So in other words, you have shame for being dishonest. You have shame for a shortcoming. That's interesting, isn't it? Because that's unnecessary.
Well, again, what's wrong with you
uh-huh.
is the question shame asks.
Right.
And you may think that some kind of shortcoming or even impropriety has something to do with your value, has something to do with your worth, or the right to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be that at all. It continues to say the susceptibility to such an emotion, a condition of humiliating disgrace or disrepute, something that brings censure or reproach, also something to be regretted. Now,
interesting.
So the shame we're talking about, there is shamefulness for things that we do that require us, that we should feel ashamed.
So in other words, there's good shame is what you're saying. There's healthy shame.
Yes, we want people to get a sense that I really don't want to do that again.
Right.
For the right reasons.
Because healthy shame prevents us from going back and doing it again.
Yes, but the shame we're talking about
is the bondage kind of shame.
Yeah, the messagings your parents left you, because in normal reality, you might not have made your bed.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have put the lawnmower away. You may not have turned off all the lights before you went to bed.
Uh-huh.
Those have nothing to do with shame at all. Those are not shameful acts. But when your parents make you feel like, what's wrong with you because you didn't turn the light out? What's wrong with you because you didn't put the lawnmower away? That's shaming, which then leads to the longevity of lots of things you do that you instantly feel ashamed about that have nothing to do with shame at all.
And if you can imagine a root with all the little, what do you call those rootlings on them?
Innuendos, I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
See, like a root.
Sure,
you know, like,
well,
you
sure.
were to pick out a root, like if you were to just really dig and pull out this big old root of guilt and shame, you'll see, and through this curriculum and through our journey on this talk show, you will see the many little rootlings, rootlets, whatever, the little baby roots attached to the big root that the guilt, unresolved guilt and shame cause, the type of shame that we're, you know, talking about. But again, we will be able to differentiate between healthy shame and not so healthy shame. But I wanted to also give you a couple of facts about guilt now. Guilt and all its forms is in the Bible 39 times. And are you ready for this? Shame and all its forms is in the Bible 115 times.
Wow, that's significant.
It's very significant. And it makes me wonder, well, obviously, our Heavenly Father, our higher power, knew that we were going to wrestle with this whole shame. He knew that the world would heap upon us unnecessary shame.
Well, if we look at a child who hits his sister and he's 8 and she's 6,
mm-hmm.
if we were to ask, why did you hit your sister? He is guilty of the hitting of his sister, but why he hit his sister is because he's 8. Mm-hmm. He's human. He's selfish. But for the
so
parent,
is that a bad question to ask? Why did you hit your sister?
Well, you could ask that if the 8-year-old had insight. Listen to your question. Why did you hit your sister?
Like they would know.
Without a tone, as if.
They would know.
Well, I don't know. If my son had read through the Dictionary of Normal Developmental Behavior, he'd say, Dad, you're the shrink. 8-year-olds hit their sisters. That's why I hit. But parents don't ask it that way. Why did you hit your sister? What's wrong with you? That's selfish. Now, that all could be true as well.
Hmm.
But that's not why he hit his sister. It could be because he's selfish, but because he's 8 years old. So
right, that's the first thing.
We
so,
translate
wow.
normal child behavior, and of course parents see their children as extensions of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if my 8-year-old hits his sister, that must mean I'm a bad parent. Now, God does not sit up in heaven thinking, oh no, my kids are sinning, I messed up.
Right? Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, Adam's children, right on time. Check it out. Deceitfully and desperately wicked. Oh, my gosh. All about you.
Oh, my.
As it should be. What we want to do as parents is to help children, first of all, take responsibility for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, we don't hit in our home. And if you choose to hit, that's great. You'll be on a timeout or you'll be spanked. But to shame them as if we can stop them from it.
Is there a way, because I know that we've got, you know, parents in the chat room and grandparents in the chat room, but, you know, going back to that simple example, but it just shows how far back this route can happen.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Going back to that simple example, is there a way to validate a child who hits a child?
Well, the validation comes, and this is what God does, that at no time is at risk our relationship to God. It's a relationship dividing thing to shame your child because, okay, so they hit their sister, and you could say, wow, I used to hit my sisters. Mm-hmm. Wow, I can relate.
So that would be validating.
So that's a validating, and before you spank or send them to their room, you say, come here, give me a hug. I am so glad you're my kid. I am so glad you were born into this family.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks for your butt, but we're good. We're good.
I'm just doing my job.
And that's where the validation comes in, because there's not a rejecting of the relationship because the child was normal. God knew we would sin when he sent his son down here. He knew we put him on the cross. That didn't stop him from relating to us. In fact, he knew we needed to have more relationship, knowing we would put an innocent man to death. So he saw our need and not our fault.
Kent, and this is a very good question in the chat room right now. Can silent treatments cause shame? They can contribute, not cause.
Well, the shaming factor of the silence, which is the shaming factor of noise, is the child believes it's their fault.
Right.
And the child has no way to get back to you. So you've given them, what's wrong with you? Look at how I'm treating you. It's all your fault. I'm mad at you. But that's why the whole thing of law, God knew that man could not give himself enough to do to make him feel confident of the relationship with him. So that's why the law can't fix it. You can do all sorts of things, but how do you know how much to do to get it back? So when the parent's silent, the child thinks, oh my gosh, I made my parents silent. How do I keep that from happening when it really wasn't about the kid at all?
So can that be a contributor? Not just a contributor, but can it be an originator?
Yes, it can be originator.
It can be both, right?
The child believes they had the power to make that happen. That's what emotion does. The child believes that I made you unhappy. I made you mad. No, that was a choice. You could have, you know, when the dad finds the bike in the driveway, he could get mad at it because it's in the driveway, or he could have said, wow, I sure am glad my kid left it there because I wanted to ride bike with him tonight and I forgot all about it. So it isn't the bike, and it isn't the hitting, and it isn't your child behaving. It's you, the parent, who have something in you that you want to get out, whether it's projection, you feel bad, you're mad at your kid because it makes you look like a bad parent, you're mad because it inconvenienced you, you had to get out of your car to move the bike out of the driveway, but you don't have to be mad. You can be happy. The child cannot control, but the child believes they had control over your silence. And that's why the parent needs to say, you know what, you did that to your sister, but I didn't have to get mad at you. I got mad. That's not your fault, son. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk to you because I had a hard time being around you, but that's not your fault. So the issue of shame is false. What's wrong with me?
Again, it addresses what's
responsibility
wrong
for something they have no control over.
Yeah, and the more often that silent treatment, the deeper the shame, then they just go on with that same belief.
Well, silence, by the way, I need to point out, silence is the most intimidating response because all of the negative is projected into the silence. Everything, because I don't know how to get into the silence. I try to be smiley. I don't know how.
Right.
And I think, wow, I am really jacked up. I'm really deserving of this because the silent person leaves nothing for the child to put in play. So the child or an adult, if you're married, when your mate shuts down and doesn't talk to you, all sorts of wacko goes into your head because you're thinking, oh my gosh, I really must have been a bad person. Oh my gosh, how do I make up for what I don't even know I did?
And then, yeah, isn't it on the part of the one giving the silent treatment a form of manipulation?
Well, there's sin in the person giving silence. And we want to do the full spectrum of what's the cause of that? What's the purpose of that? I'm being silent so I can hurt you. I'm being silent now. Unless you're going to be silent, and then you just say, you know, son, I need to stop talking to you because I'm going to say things I don't really want to say.
Yeah,
Then they know it's not them.
That's different, yeah.
But that's a sinful position to be silent.
For too long. Yeah, I think that there's healthy silence again.
That's
There's always that spectrum where it's either, you know, it's not so black and white. There is gray or grace in the middle. But there is a way to be healthily silent, and oftentimes those of us gifted with words need to practice that healthy silence.
Yeah, no.
It's true.
True. I told my wife, I said, what? I go out to the garage. I said, I'm going to take a break, go out to the garage. And she wants to be near me. I said, why are you near me? Do you want to be near the blast site or what? I'm out here to gather my thoughts so I can be loving when I'm done, feeling what I'm feeling. But she couldn't take it. You know, she had to be out near me when I needed space.
Okay, so, but you saying, let me just call you on this and ask you, you saying, why are you out here? Isn't it, wouldn't it have been better, just I want from my own experience, wouldn't it have been better to say I need to be alone?
Well, yes, but then she'd want to go into a conversation. This is the problem. I'm telling her I need to be alone. She wants to know why do you need to be alone?
Oh,
and here we go. So
yeah.
I'm helping both of us by taking a break. I'll let you know all the details you need to know when I'm done.
When I'm ready.
So I can speak in plain English without any attitude.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, will I ever be free from
acrostic
all these...
of guilt.
How this one's a good one.
Acrostic.
This one is, and I'm going to write it in the chat room, but guilt is grieving under the influence, and then in parentheses, of last transgression. So it's transgression. So grieving under influence of last transgression. And so that's guilt. That's just an acrostic. And then the acrostic for shame, I love this one. This one is a self-harming attitude manifesting externally. So do you want to explain that?
Well, self-harming attitude manifesting externally is you walk around manifesting things because of how shamed you feel. You wear a long face. It's manifesting itself when you're with other people. You won't let them care for you. There's things that you are out of character
mm-hmm.
about. And then, of course, the kicker would be they ask what's wrong with you or what is wrong, and you'll say nothing. But it's manifesting itself very clearly because, yeah, if we feel ashamed, we're not happy people.
Well, and then, okay, and I want to make it clear that shame is internal but
right.
does manifest itself externally in our behavior, in our
attitude. That's right, because shame, if I'm ashamed of what I just did, why did I leave the lawnmower out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to manifest that. I have an internal grinding going on, and I'm going to have someone feel my pain. So some people keep it in and feel bad and down and have their lips on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The other person wants someone to pay for their pain. And so they'll go out and shame somebody else. They'll go out and cause attention in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it is manifesting externally, yes.
Yeah, and there's various ways. I mean, people run from their shame through addiction, is that correct?
People run through their shame because it's a painful thing that they
have to get rid of. But don't they avoid it by...
Well, it's avoidant by definition.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we are not wanting to. We don't know how to. See, the assumption of avoidance sounds like, I know better and I just don't want to deal with it, so
Very
I think
true.
I'll take some pills.
Very true.
But in the need of avoiding, what is not resolvable, how does a kid get over when his parents make him feel like crap because he left his lawnmower out?
Uh-huh.
Now, in the meantime, what the parents didn't say, the yard was perfect. Emotion transmits what's wrong with you. The words aren't there. You left the lawnmower out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the lawn is perfect, why aren't we saying, wow, son, great yard? Well, we don't do that. And so the kid knows that they mowed that lawn. They weren't credited with that lawn. Now they feel even worse and
right.
feel frustrated because there's no recognition of what I do right. So what's wrong with me? I don't do anything right. So I need to medicate that. That's where cutting comes in, eating disorders come in, especially with kids. They come up with ways. And, of course, we also have pills and alcohol
mm-hmm.
and other items of use.
Porn. I mean, there's all
kinds. Well, they have porn or they become perfectionistic and they're study freaks.
Overachievers.
Yeah, they overachieve. They don't want anybody to be mad at them. So, yes, the things we come up with that drive, that are really, and that's why the roots of this process of transform are critical, because we have all sorts of flavors as a result of these roots.
Flavors of...
But we need to have an understanding of the root to realize I'm not guilty for, and if I am guilty, I can ask forgiveness, and if the person doesn't want to forgive me, that's okay.
Right.
I didn't do it to hurt them, and I'm not asking forgiveness about them.
And that's been really freeing for me in the last couple of things I've actually had to go through in my prayer for meekness.
Sure.
It's been really powerful. Like, I remember just recently after a situation just feeling really free, you know, and it's because of, you know, digging up these roots. It's because
sure.
of, you know, really being able to stare at stuff in the face. And, you know, it's not to say by any means that I've arrived. I haven't, but I have come to an understanding because I wonder oftentimes how often will I have pain, emotional
right.
pain. Well, anytime the Lord wants to teach us a lesson, unfortunately, pain is normally part of the process, especially if we've
Well, the lesson with guilt, especially, this is why Jesus came. He asks us, if we feel guilty, if we are guilty, then we need to confess our sin. He forgives it, and then it's over. But somehow we're not at rest with that. We are not good at receiving free forgiveness.
Yeah, right.
So we feel like we have to pay it back. We feel like we have to do something. So even though you say, I forgive you, someone comes up, you've violated them or they violated you, you say, okay, I forgive you. And then you behave. This is such a cool thing. My wife recently has worked at, when she does something wrong, if it is a wrong, so this is the whole problem. She's human.
Yeah.
Last night we got back and I was going to put the camper in the driveway and she gets home and the gate is shut. The guys in my band, we had a rehearsal on Saturday and they shut the gate. We don't ever shut the gate. So she drives and the gate is shut. So she has to get out of the car to open that gate. And when she gets out of the car, she's on her phone. And I'm sitting in the street blocking traffic to pull my trailer in. And she's got this phone. Now, I'd have thrown that phone down. I'd have told the person I got to call them back, whatever, because I'm blocking traffic. And I yell at her, put the phone down, because I'm irritated.
Yeah.
Now, she historically would have never said anything to me. And she goes, I was doing my best. And Crystal was on the phone. Of course, she has to rationalize and justify it.
Right.
But the fact that she pushed back on me,
yeah.
Versus in the past, she would have said nothing.
That's good, though.
She, that was that very good.
So you were able to hear her?
I was not only able to hear her, but as soon as she says that, 2 minutes later, I backed the trailer in, and I bought the trailer, and she goes, I just love this trailer. So she was able to say what she had to say.
And feel better.
And move on.
Amen.
Instead of, okay, now you got to say it 3 times.
Now, did you say that you noticed that was a growth on her?
Not only did I notice that,
Out
of my character, I said, I told her I was sorry.
Wow.
I told her I was sorry, I yelled. Because of the way
she handled it probably helped you see.
Well, yes,
that you,
because of the way she handled it. Why I could say I'm sorry is because I heard her wound.
Yeah.
The way she handled it was too. One is she actually said something.
Yeah.
In defense of herself, which I thought was really cool.
Very healthy.
And then she thanked me for the trailer, like, okay, I said what I had to say, and I'm done.
I'm good.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, that is really cool.
But no, we carry it. We feel like we have to make up for it 15 times. It feels like we got to make sure you know I'm sorry, and I say it 5 times, and the person says I'm cool, but we are not good at just that example. Okay, we're done. I let it go. We're on to the next thing.
Nice.
So
that's
the dilemma of shame and guilt. That we are not freed by I'm sorry.
And I just wanted to kind of bring it back before we close with one closing thought. The whole shaming thing and the way we talk to our kids and maybe the way we talk to our spouses or the, you know, just those that we love.
Just those we love.
Anybody we love. Okay. Just forget the spouse or children. Anybody that we love.
It comes down
to a simple solution, which I like to say. Make it very, very simple. It's make a deposit before you make a withdrawal. The whole lawnmower thing, you know, leaving it in there. Man, the lawn looks so good. Hey, would you mind putting the lawnmower away? Simple, simple solution. Make a deposit, then make the withdrawal. And make sure that the withdrawal is not greater than the deposit.
Sure,
exactly.
It's all tone.
It's totally tone.
Yeah.
So I just have one more thought to leave you with before we actually will start next week with the next route, which next week's a holiday. Are we on?
I'm going to be in the office. I don't know the holidays.
All right, then we're on. Okay, so I wanted to leave you with this. And actually, Jeff gave this to me as I was writing this curriculum.
Her son.
Jeff, meaning my son, and who's in the midst of just transforming himself. But what is in the middle of guilt? What letter is in the middle of guilt? It's I. What 2 letters are at the end of shame? Me. And that... It's very appropriate to say that guilt and shame are all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
The longer we hang on to it, everything becomes about me. What I did wrong, what I didn't do. You know, so.
Well, let's be fair to that because the energy that started it to be about you was at you.
Was at me,
Yes, and so that's why I carry that. But
like
Jesus came to say, I came to set you free. Confess your sin, I'll forgive it. Boom. We are
free.
Yes.
So no more shame, no more guilt, but actually we've just touched on the surface. We're going to color all that in the weeks to come. Join us next week as we build the frame for the root of despair. Make it a great day.
Bye-bye.